You're listening to Rust Belt Running.
Running is what makes me realize that, like, I'm a human being who is worth something.
That is not a good measurement of my value as a human.
We get between 8 and 10,000 additional comments, and I read every one of them.
So you had to run Sand Run for your first. You become race director and take it out.
it's got to be old guy naked in the locker room.
I get to spend time with my friend Adam. I get to do something with my friend.
Right now, I'm not thinking much beyond what I'm going to be drinking next week at this time.
Coleslaw on a taco is not taco, it's barbecue.
And so we'll be discussing tonight with some occasional swear words from Andrew because he's upset, and that's okay.
I know him as the biggest Kid Rock fan around.
You rap that.
Oh, dear God.
You're listening to Rust Belt Running. I'm Adam Wheeler. You can find me on social media, Wheels Up in CLE, joined as I always am by Andrew Hettinger. You can find him on social media, Andrew Runs a Lot. If you want to find the podcast on social media, you can find us at Rust Belt Running. Andrew, we are back. How you doing, bud?
I'm fantastic, man. I'm good. I'm tired and talking to Sam Smith for an hour. Man, that really takes it out of you.
That was a whirlwind.
God bless her. But she's awesome. I don't know what it is with like all the like female runners that you and I know. Man, they are just really good at talking.
They're great. They're dynamic. They're fun. They're engaging. It was very clear from the first couple of minutes, like this was going to be a whirlwind.
You sound way less condescending than I do.
That's good.
A yin and yang.
We've got to have a balance.
So I really enjoyed, all kidding aside, I did really enjoy the time that we spent with Sam. She walked us through kind of her journey. She's a newer runner, only been running for a few years.
Yeah.
Started right before the pandemic hit, which great decision there. But she had something to kind of take her through those turbulent times that we had in 2020. She took us through that. And then, she took us through having a kid and being a postpartum runner, which is a massive journey in and of itself. And,
You talk about, you start running and then have two major life events happen in back-to-back years that just upend what running looks like for you. Like, so just a really interesting conversation to see how she navigated all that.
Yeah, and I think it's got to give her a lot of hope for what 2023 is going to be, as she actually maybe, gets to enjoy a year of, some consistency and continuity. And that always kind of lends itself to, that's kind of how I feel after my last 2 years that I've had. It's like, 2022 was supposed to be what 2020 was supposed to be, and now 2022 was a shit show, and I'm excited to see what 2023 is. And it's kind of the same way with her. I love that she, her and I are in agreement. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. So I'm going to leave that to Sam. Make sure to go follow, Samantha Smith. Her Instagram handle is Sammy Sunshiny. There are four E's.
Okay.
S-A-M-I, Sunshine with four E's. Make sure to follow her. She's a absolute trip. She has an adorable one-year-old and dedicated runner and mom. So take some time. Listen to us. Buckle up. It's a wild ride, friends. But here's our interview with Samantha Smith.
Before we go any further, let's take a quick break to tell you a little bit about what we do with run coaching. Adam, why don't you tell us about it?
It's personalized run coaching. It takes into account the schedule that you have to get your runs in, the goals that you have, as well as the base that you come to us with. You talk to us about what it is you want to be doing, the time that you have to do it, and we come up with a personalized plan that fits your needs, works on you towards your goals, and helps provide a bird's eye view on your training to make sure that you don't plateau, to make sure that you're doing the correct training that's appropriate for you, and to get you showing up on race day confidence that you're going to be ready to hit your race goals.
So to learn more about how we can help you hit your race goals, go to rustbeltrunning.com. There you can find out about our different levels and coaching, find out more about us as runners and coaches, or you can support the show with buying merch, a sweatshirt, a patch that you can iron on to your singlet for that race that you're running soon. Maybe you don't want people knowing that you listen to us, but regardless, support the show. But for now, sit back and enjoy the rest of this episode.
Sam, thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. Andrew is currently trying to figure out who Sam Smith is. Not
why
you,
he invited
but the
me.
Singer.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Well, I don't know that he invited me. I didn't invite you. You invited yourself.
I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure that I beat down the doors of Rust Belt Running plenty of times, which is interesting because, like, yesterday I said to my husband, I don't really know why I even asked to be on this podcast because I think they're gonna regret it. I think they're gonna say we shouldn't have had her.
I think you were drinking the night that it came up.
That's not true. That's a little bit true, but that was only because I got the gall to be like, listen, I would really like to be on this podcast. I think my exact words were, I can offer like funny adjacent content to this podcast. So.
Oh, I like that. I like that phrase.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't 99% like, sure you were actually like drinking.
No, I was drinking, but that was the drinking only led me to like finally get the courage to be like, I'd really like to be on this podcast sometime if you're looking for guests. But I had thought about it before and I was like, I'm going to ask someday. But then I just didn't have the, I don't want to say balls, but you know what I mean?
One, for the record, we're always looking for guests. And two,
thanks.
Drinking and this podcast are a synonymous thing. We often sometimes drink during the recording of this podcast.
I was told I was like required to have wine for the podcast, but I don't know if I'm like allowed to tell what time of day it is, but it's really an inappropriate time of day to be drinking wine, probably.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Somewhere. Not here, to be clear. I got a whole day ahead of me.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I want to ask this question really quick because I don't know if this is just a me thing or if this happens to other people. Does day drinking make you guys more tired than drinking at night? Because it knocks
100%.
Out.
Okay. I don't have the fun like I'm gonna day drink and like let's sing and dance on. No, I'm like I'm gonna have a drink and then regret it the rest of the day.
Yeah,
so.
Just super, Andrew, yeah. You drink at all hours.
A lot.
Well,
no.
Okay, so it depends on the context.
Okay.
Like if it's. So, like, Ohio State, Michigan, if I'm drinking heavy, I know.
Very heavy.
yes.
Prepping for a spanking, it, like, apparently.
It's I wake up and I have this, like, random, like, twilight hangover, and that's bizarre to me.
At, like, because, 7 p.m., like, by the way.
Yeah, you wake up from a mid-afternoon nap and it's dark because it gets dark at, like, 5:30 here, and you're hungover. It's weird. But if I'm just, like, vacation drinking and I'm just like, except for a couple nights of our cruise, and I'm just like maintaining that good like solid baseline buzz, then I'm not tired. I'm pretty cool the whole day.
It
just carries
me
into night drinking where I can just do whatever I want until I black out.
Okay.
Bunch of grown-ups here on this podcast.
Because I was day drinking when my brother was in town last week and it's like, man, this just knocks me
out. It's not
out.
Fun. Yeah.
No, it's not. It was nice on Thanksgiving because I got a long run in and then I just pretty much passed out the rest of the day in between watching football and eating. But
it's fun when you like can take a nap, but like we were talking about this a little bit earlier, like having kids, you can't really count on a nap.
No.
And if you take a nap and you wake up feeling like crap and then your kid wakes up from his nap, it's like not exactly. Yeah. It's not a good day.
I do want to be very clear about something. Sam and I were talking about drinking before you came on, Adam, and she was very quick to point out that you and I are much older than she is.
Much. Yeah, much, much. So
I don't like that word much. That's doing a lot of legwork here.
It's doing a lot of legwork. Yeah, my fun party days ended like 5 years ago for me, a young pup. So I don't know how you guys are still hanging. So
if we are in the same generation, you cannot say that we are much older than you.
Are we still in the same generation? Because I don't think that's true.
I think you're a millennial, right?
Yeah, I guess technically. I'm very much on the cusp. I guess I'm like almost.
And so are we, like, just on the other end.
I'm on the front end of the millennials, where it's like the Gen Xers.
I'm on the
are
back
like
end.
Right, yeah. So we're in the same generation. I can't be that much older than you.
Yeah, I was born in 94, so I don't know.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Were you like graduating college then? Is that about right?
Oh, my God. Jeez, we are off and running.
with that degree that has some work in a bonefish.
And coaching and running a successful podcast? Come on.
You found out about my successful podcast? And you're not supposed to know about that.
All right, so I have this listed as an icebreaker, but we've already done that. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
I was gonna say Die Hard to be funny, but that's not true. Actually, I think Home Alone might be.
That's the next question. We'll get to that. Home Alone.
Did you say Home Alone? No.
I think Home Alone. Yeah, I like it. I like the Santa Claus too because I think Tim Allen is he's a guy. You know, he's a good guy.
Man, that was when Tim Allen was at his peak, too. That was peak. Such a good little movie.
That was like Home Improvement days. Oh, yeah. He was good then. Yeah. It's a good movie, honestly. But the new ones are
I'm surprised you know about Home Alone. That's such an older show for you to be aware of.
I know.
Andrew, what's yours?
Macaulay Culkin and I are pretty close. Go ahead, Andrew. I can't even imagine what yours is. Go ahead.
What, my favorite Christmas movie? Mm-hmm. Well, Christmas Vacation, by far. Yeah. So, Erica Gennaro, No, it's not a Christmas movie.
I know it's not. I know.
Thank you. That was the next question. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
No, listen, it isn't.
There is on Twitter a picture. I might have saved this to my phone. I'll have to find it. There is somebody created a Nakatomi Plaza advent calendar with Hans Gruber falling, and every day you knock him down another level towards some sweat. If there can be a Hans Gruber Nakatomi Plaza advent calendar, it is a Christmas movie.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's your favorite then, Adam.
Hold on. Bruce Willis actually said Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Well, so, yeah, there you go. Yeah. He's the authority on Bruce. All things Christmas, if you ask me.
I just love the scene where the late Alan Rickman looks at the guy with the sweater.
This is out of control already.
And just does his whole Alan Rickman shtick of, now I have a machine gun.
Oh, very Christmassy. Oh. Deck the halls, baby.
Yes! Yeah. With terrorist blood, yes.
Yeah!
Santa Claus is coming with...
AR-15? I don't know.
Yeah. All right, so running. We're a running podcast here. We've gotten off to a rip-roaring start.
Hit the ground running, if you will.
We really did. No more ice to break. It's like the polar caps in the north and climate change. I mean, just non-existent anymore. So we're here. It's Christmas time, but we had a really good running season. You had a really good fall. But I want to get a little more of your running history, kind of what got you into it. You've had a lot of life change recently, and that's a perspective that neither Adam nor I can offer. So to have a voice on to speak to postpartum running is going to be really cool. But I just want to kind of understand a little bit of like what got you into running and kind of what brought you to where you're at now.
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up not a sports kid. I did not play sports at all in any capacity. I was like one of four, so I was the third in line. So by the time it got to me, my parents were like, we got a lot to do, So they didn't really have time to be putting me in 5,000 sports like most of my friends. So I was into like choir and show choir and things like that, really cool and not at all nerdy. But then when I got older, I've always had like, I know it's going to probably come as a huge shock, a lot of like can't sit still energy. So I like got a little older and like needed to harness that in some way other than just like being around. So I have actually tried to start running an embarrassing amount of times, like probably 5 times before I actually like took. I had made an effort on like, I don't know, couch to 5K type things. Like had gone to the gym and tried to like treadmill on a regular basis and it just like never really stuck. And I mean, a lot of it was just that I had no idea that like being uncomfortable was just part of getting better at something, especially like a physical hobby or sport of any kind. Once I like took the time to realize that being uncomfortable was every piece of this, it really like made it a lot easier to keep going. So in 2019, I was like, okay, like, I would really like to run a half marathon. And my husband was like, you should do it then. Like, if you want to do it, it's something you can do. You just need to do it. So I think it was February, I just started a Couch to 5K program again and just set like 5K, 10K half goals throughout the, you know, spring and I guess into the summer. So yeah, I did a 5K in Akron and then I moved on to like this Wadsworth 10K. That's where I live for, if you didn't know. And then eventually run on to do the Akron half. So poorly, might add, but I did it.
Define poorly.
Yeah, I did not feel good. I was like really not doing good at the end. I'm surprised. I think I cried for like 20 minutes. Like some people cry when they like achieve a goal. And I was like not crying for that reason. I was very much like, this sucked. So it was very hot that year. I don't know if any of you ran that race, but it was very hot that year. And I remember yes. coming up market, like, I think I would rather die than finish. I saw my friend and she was like, yay, you're doing so good. And I was like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Please don't tell anybody about this. So yeah, it wasn't a fun thing, but it was like, in hindsight, it was a very like telling day because I think it really just paints the picture of like, you have to work hard and sometimes it's not good. And like choosing to keep going is sort of what makes this sport enjoyable. And so, even that day, my husband was like, would you do it again? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
So, sorry to be cut
off. When did you decide, like, after that you were going to do another one? Like, what was the, what you just described as a terrible experience?
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, this is like very dramatic, but I think I told my husband that day, like, no, I would never do that again. And then I'm pretty sure it was like the next week, I was like, I think I would like to do a full next year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So that was 2019. So you yeah. just had gotten into this running going into 2020.
Yeah, interesting year. Yes, I had. Yeah. And I also decided to sign up for a full that year, which
was it going to be Akron?
Blast. It was Akron. Technically, I ran a full that virtual. Year, but I did not run it at Akron.
Did you find it
a virtual game?
Oh, that sucks so bad.
Yeah.
Did you find it difficult to go from, you know, running with a bunch of people, doing this race experience, especially being a newer runner to, oh, shit, there's no races anymore now. Like, how did that change for you?
Yeah, I did find it really hard. And actually, to be honest with you, I had like a pretty good running community. And I think that was part of why, like, I was able to keep running. Like, I've built sort of like a network of runners just in the area. And at the time, like, sorry to kind of go a different direction really quick, but I had like started a running group like in the middle of COVID because at the time I was like trying to figure out when a good time to run was. And I really liked running in the morning, especially in the summer, cause it's so hot, but I did not feel safe running by myself, like in the dark. So I started a very poorly named running group in Wadsworth called Wadsworth Safe Runners and had met a bunch of people that I like ran with in the mornings. And we were able to like continue training in that way. So like training runs and stuff were no different, but then when the races came is when it was like very different. So like we had signed up for the full, we figured out it was going to be virtual. And I was very much like, do I even want to bother with this? But I had all this training cause they kind of pulled it like last minute. I don't know if you remember, but it was like not that, I mean, there was like very few little time left before the race actually was determined to be virtual. So at that point, all of us had already kind of done the training and I was like, well, I might as well at least try. So I think it was like five of us girls went out and did it on the towpath and it was nice that we did it, but it was not a fun experience at all. Not compared to like an actual race for sure.
Which direction did y'all go on the towpath? Like, because
that's a really good question. I would love to tell you. Yeah. So great question. We started in Canal Fulton and went, I guess, north towards like New Franklin and then turned around and then got back to the same starting point and went the other direction. So we did like a half going, you know, north and then came back and then a half going south and came back.
That is the most boring stretch of towpath you could ever imagine too.
I know,
but south of Canal Fulton. That's awful.
Okay. First of all, you're not wrong. However, we had done a lot of our training, like, at Botsum, which I love. I love that stretch of the towpath. It's beautiful. But we'd been there all summer. Like, I mean, every single training run with the exception of like three or four. So I was just over it at that point. I mean, I'd done so many like 15, 18, 20s there. I was like, this is boring. I don't want to do this again, especially on this like, you know, big day, but it, you know, it really wasn't. But it was nice. Our friends were like very supportive. Like they came out and like my husband and one of my best friends came with like a sign that was like big, right? Like you had to like cross through it and like cut the sign. Like it was very cute. And they, when we were at the end, they were just like made it really special. Yeah. It was fun.
That was the cool thing about 2020 was there was a lot of that, making, pardon the, stupid expression, but lemonade out of lemons,
For sure. Yeah.
I think that's, a virtual sucks, but you created memories in a different way.
For sure.
That you'll hold on to.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's, 2020, God, that sucked. Let's not talk about 2020. Let's move into 2021 then. So
yeah,
things are, your life is going to be getting turned upside down pretty soon. And to be clear too, through 2020, you trained with Rachel. Were you training with her in 2020?
No, I didn't. This year was my first year with Rachel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was curious because I know they had the Akron Running Project that she worked with.
I did do Akron Running Project. I did do that. Yeah, I did participate in that, but I wasn't like a formal athlete of hers at that time.
Okay. So what was 2021 kind of like? You're coming off a virtual full. Things feel like they're getting a little more normal. Races might actually happen.
Yeah.
What are you feeling?
Did I get knocked up? So, it was a big goal of mine, honestly, just to keep moving, right? Like I love running. Obviously I love running, but it was very important to me to like, even if it's 1 mile, I just want to keep moving. So my first race, pregnant and back into the racing game was, Medina half. And at that time I had PR'd my half by a lot. Like I have the numbers written down, but I think it was like 20 minutes, which is not, wasn't really hard to do because my first half time was like, it wasn't that much fun. So that was like a pretty big deal to me. I was like excited. I think I was 16 weeks pregnant at the time. And I was just like really proud of that time. So that was Medina half. And then I kept running through the summer. I think my last race was Akron, Goodyear 10K. I don't think I PR'd that day. I think I just barely finished. I kept running up through that. And then I think it was like right at my third trimester. I was like, I think I'm good just to like walk a little bit. And I wanted to do a full, but like when I got found out I was pregnant, I was very much like, I think I'm cool on this until I come back. So.
How did you run?
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
It was really fun. And then you said you barely finished a 10K. Like
I didn't barely finish a 10K, to be clear. I didn't barely finish. I finished that 10K. Strong. I'm just saying. I was barely running at that point. I was like, I'm very much over it. So, yeah, the porta potty and our best friends.
Oh, there it is. There's the Sarah Hoover vibes. There we go.
You just had to pee like every 5 seconds when you're pregnant. And then you're running and it was not fun. So.
You know what's funny about being pregnant? My wife, we were
what is it? Tell me.
The other day.
I was wondering where this was going.
Yeah.
So this is not related to running in any way, shape, or form. But
that's okay.
She worked at a restaurant. She worked at TGI Fridays in Austin, Texas when she was pregnant. And she would eat everything. She would eat the same thing like every day, but it was like everything. And she'd get like a burger and then she would wash it down with like wings. And she would come home crying, complaining of heartburn every night.
Yeah.
But she would be throwing down more wings while having heartburn. And I'm like,
it's very hard to explain. Like for me personally, like the quantity was never really a thing. I don't know. Like I have a very short torso. Like you can't probably tell looking at me, but I'm like 5'2" and my torso is very small. And my baby was behemoth. He was humongous. He was. So like once I got to a certain point, like there was no room. I wanted to eat, but could not get the food in there. So like for me, it was just the ridiculous things I wanted to eat. Like this isn't that ridiculous, but I would be like, I would like wake up in the morning and tell my husband, like, we are going to McDonald's today. I am getting a double quarter pounder with cheese and fries. And he'd be like, I think maybe you should think about eating a vegetable for the, I was like, no.
We'll deal with that afterwards.
Yeah. So like, but then I would have heartburn towards the end because I was up, everyone was like, oh, you gotta eat all this spicy stuff and I'll get that baby right out of you, which is bullshit, by the way. Am I allowed to cuss on this podcast? I think
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, it's bullshit. It doesn't work. Just want to be clear. And I would just like, yeah, like, let's get the honey hot pizza and stuff. And I'd be like, oh my God, I think I'm going to die. I think they're going to like, I think the baby's going to come roaring out and I'm going to be dead. And my husband was like, calm down. So, yeah.
Pregnant women can eat anything no matter what they feel like. And oh, it's bizarre. It's really.
Yeah. We're supernatural. Really, that's what you mean to say. Superhuman.
Yeah. Not smart. Oftentimes.
Disagree. Yeah. Okay. Disagree. Vehemently disagree. Very smart, actually.
Well, okay. Yeah. We are definitely going to disagree on that. But okay. Pregnancy brain is real. Like the Modern Family episode where Gloria has pregnancy brain. That is a very real phenomenon.
Pregnancy brain is real, okay? And then it's like postpartum brain. And then it's like, I just didn't sleep very well last night. So
mom brain.
Mom brain, yeah, it's all. Like, we can't help it. It's because our brains are so big, they're taking on so much, whereas you guys, your little pea brains, were like, oh, yeah, did he eat today? Cool, have a good day.
What?
I'm done now.
I feel attacked.
Yeah, don't come for us, girls. Man. I got you, girls.
I don't have kids, so I just feel like I should just nod and agree.
There's nothing like, wrong she seems with pregnancy right. brain. I didn't say there's anything wrong with it. I just said it's a real thing.
It is a real thing. You're right, I'm just kidding.
And we're going to talk about your amazing journey coming back from this, starting now. And
as a mom boss runner?
Hey, come on. I said don't say that. Oh, God. I do not subscribe to that hashtag at all. It is not in my bio.
Oh, I see.
Oh, gosh.
I see. That was a trap to get me to read that.
Yeah, it was a trap. I made a joke about it before we started recording and I was like, please don't say that. I'm really just kidding. Like, I don't mean that. And then Andrew was like, mm-hmm. And I can see him typing. And of course, yeah, I didn't think this was going to go well.
Well, that's what I get for not coming into the pre-intro until a little bit later.
I did put the sarcasm sign next to it. It just Which happened is? To fall. The like slash S.
That's what that is?
She would love to be called a mom boss runner.
Is a sarcasm sign?
Yeah, where have you been on Twitter? That's always been that.
First of all, I did not know that. First of all, the fact that you thought that was serious and you were like, oh, she'd love to be called that, and you could say it with a straight face, that's really like very sweet and endearing of you, but I'm like embarrassed on your behalf because I'm dumb. I would not say that.
Listen, we've had so many different personalities on this podcast.
You just have to accept them all. You did say this is a very, like, wide spectrum accepting podcast. So I'm a listener. Can you tell?
Well, good. You're one of our like 70. That's great.
70,000? Come on.
Hey, we're trying.
I posted. We have some nice statistics from you do. Spotify Unwrapped.
And they're really just about to go up. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone who sees that I'm on this podcast, like, man, that's a discredit right there, my friend.
So let's talk about postpartum running.
Okay.
So you had your son, who just turned a year old. Congratulations. Yep.
Thank you. We made it.
So when did you start to turn back to wanting to run? Like, when did when did the desire to, get back into running and even racing, come back?
Yeah. So to be honest with you, I was very ready, like, not physically, of course, but almost immediately. I just really couldn't. It was like a very top of mind goal for me. When I say I love running, I don't just mean like, I really love this thing. It's like, I really do enjoy it. Like, even on the hard days, like, this is so corny. I never regret going for a run. Right. So pretty much instantly, I was like, pretty clear that like my goals for the spring and summer were just going to be getting back to racing. And I think while I was pregnant, I was pretty misguided, probably. I'm going to say, I think like hormones kind of make you like think about things a completely incorrect way. And like, while I was 5,000 pounds with a behemoth baby, I was like, oh, I need to like start running again so that I can like, oh, gross, get my body back. But then when I actually had a baby, I didn't feel that way at all. Like, to be clear, I did not have that same mindset. I was very like reminded that like what I had just gone through, and not to get on like a soapbox, but what my body had just been through and like what we did, right, was huge and like very much a success in and of itself. And like whatever it looked like was completely irrelevant to me. And I know not everybody feels that way. And I want to be clear, like it's okay if you do feel that way. But for me, like I didn't care what it looked like at all. I was like, I'm so proud of this. I'm so proud of this human that like grew inside of me. And like as long as I can start moving again in a way that makes me feel confident, like run. Right. I was okay with that. So pretty much immediately after I gave birth, I was like, yep, I want to like make a plan for when I'm cleared and like healthy. I had like a little bit of a recovery just afterwards, as most women do. So like beyond just sort of like the 6 weeks that they kind of lay as a benchmark, I just like needed a little extra time. But then I think it was my husband had gotten me a Run Well, Be Well gift card for Coach Rachel to sort of get back into like a routine of some kind. And we had sort of had a discussion about like what my goals were. And I told her, to be honest with you, I don't really have any goal except to safely return to the sport that I love. So.
When did things shift for you once you got back to running, where you started to key in on like, I'm going to have some goals again, because that's obviously a big shift and you don't know what it's going to look like to where you get back to that point. So when did that shift for you? When did you start thinking about like actual goals again?
So one thing about me is because I didn't do like play sports of any kind, I didn't realize about myself that I was pretty competitive, not against other people, but myself. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, like month one after I was like, oh, I can do this again, because I'd taken some time off, right? So 28 weeks pregnant was when I was done running. And so then another 12 weeks, I had my baby, and then, you know, 3 months after that. So it had been like several months.
Yeah.
So when I first started running again, I was like, are my legs going to work? Like, am I going to be able to do this? And then I was able to kind of get back to it because I had laid such a honestly solid foundation. So sort of like month one, when I was able to like run with some consistency and realize like, oh, I didn't lose everything like I thought I was going to, it clicked for me that like, okay, I've got goals because I'm in a much better place physically. Honestly, I was in a better place, like pace, consistency, I would say endurance, maybe not so much like where the heart rate lives, but in those areas postpartum than I could remember in a long time. So
is there anything you attribute that to?
Well, I worked out a lot of my pregnancy. So okay. I think honestly, just like making sure that I was like moving with some of like it's kind of like the way I think about it is sort of like running with a weighted vest. When you take the weighted vest off, you're like surprised at how fast you can go and how hard you can go because you just have had this like weight and then you've released it. Right. So that's kind of how it felt when I was able to get back to, you know, moving. I mean, I don't want to sugarcoat it. I certainly had some work to do, but it was not anywhere near as difficult as I thought it was going to be. So at that point I was ready to like set some goals for sure.
So what were some of the goals that you set for yourself? Were you looking more at like, I want to run a full and back it up with a 50K in the fall? Or were you looking at more like time oriented goals? Like what was kind of the mindset in goal developing? Because that's something we talk a lot about is, you know, developing appropriate goals.
Yeah.
How did you, like, what was the thought process there?
Yeah. So something that I've like, I hate to give you too much credit here, but something I've learned from you guys a lot since being a devoted follower and listener is just in the last like even 6 months is like being able to like adjust your goals appropriately, right? A goals, B goals, C goals. At the time, I wasn't really thinking, time has never really been my ultimate goal. Like a pace goal has never really been top of mind for me because I think when I began running, I had to sort of let that go to get to the part where you enjoy running, right? Mm-hmm. I was constantly like, but I don't live in this 9 minute mile bracket and I want to. And then I didn't enjoy running because I was pushing myself too hard for a pace that wasn't realistic at the time, right? So then like coming back from postpartum, my goal was really just, I want to get running. I want to be back to like a training schedule. And then I think probably like month two, it was very clear that I was like ready for a full this year. I wanted it to be like a sanctioned event, obviously. So I wanted to like spend the time to get there. And yeah, I think I needed to understand what like the time commitment was going to be. I mean, obviously I have a new baby at home. I was breastfeeding full time. I mean, we're still like kind of in the breastfeeding world. So it was very like, I have a limited amount of time to get out and get my run done because my kid needs to eat and like his dad can give him a bottle, but that still doesn't mean anything for like me physically. Cause I had that to kind of getting in the way a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I needed to understand like what the time commitment was going to be. And, you know, thankfully I have a, you know, shout out to my husband. He's so supportive and he was very like, we'll make this work and we're going to, you know, you deserve to like have these goals and, you know, find the time to make them work for you. And like, however I can support you, like, I want to do that. So he was very, I did not quote him verbatim, probably. He'd be like, he's going to be like, I never said that, but no, he was very like helpful and made sure that. Yeah. He's a man of few words. We like to tease him. He's very, he says what he means and that's about it. He's a Renaissance man. So yeah, but he was very supportive. And so it made it like easier for me to have goals that felt maybe big, but also realistic. So.
I'm curious about the how breastfeeding affected running.
Like, yeah, with so your nutrition, heart rate.
Because that's a lot of calories, too, that you're losing.
Yeah. Heart rate, nutrition, all of those things were a, I wouldn't say a challenge per se, but something about me also is that I, like, pretty much never don't have an appetite. I can eat any time. But when you're breastfeeding, it's ravenous. Like, no rules. I was eating, like, a teenage boy going through puberty all the time. And I never felt like I was appropriately fueled. Like my runs, I would come back being like, oh my God. And I took gels and I would take snacks and I took so much and I could never get to the point where I felt appropriately fueled. And like for my personal body type, there was many times during the summer where I was like, sorry, this sounds like a flex, but it's not. I was like losing weight that I didn't want to lose. Like I wanted to be gaining certain weight because I wanted to be able to like build muscle off of some of that. And it was like, constant battle with like I'm pumping and I'm breastfeeding and I'm trying to take in calories but I'm also running like 40 miles a week and it was just like constantly trying to catch up now with quite pulled back weeks, but yeah, it was difficult. And my heart rate was always, it was never where I wanted it to be. You know, Coach Rachel's very like she makes an intentional about keeping your heart rate at a certain area, and I pretty much was never there. So like the gray zone that everyone's trying to avoid at all times, I pretty much lived there, and it wasn't for lack of trying. It was just like, at this point, like, I just don't even have the time to spend to like pull my miles back that far because I've got someplace I have to be or whatever. So like if I had 5 miles, in order to get to the heart rate zone that I wanted to be, I was like going to have to really pull my pace back. But sometimes I just didn't have the time to do that. So the gray zone I unfortunately lived in quite a bit this summer, which hopefully next year won't be so much of an issue, but.
Well, and I think, you know, thinking back about some of the runners that I've coached, that was honestly one of the biggest things that I ran into, not the breastfeeding part, but just the schedule part, just the fact that like you look at these schedules that you can look at a book or get online and, you know, it's like, just run this many miles today and you'll be good.
Yeah.
And what runners don't realize is like, well, sure, maybe running 8 miles today is really important, but I have the time really to do that, but only if I do it really, really fast.
Yeah.
And it becomes difficult because we're not paid to do this. This is something we fit into very hectic schedules and you're just trying to get it all in. And there's just, it's so rarely perfect to try to fit all that in. And you have to make it work as best you can.
Yeah.
And you have to find the, do I run faster or do I lop miles off? Because if you're, you know, living in that zone, which I don't prescribe to some of the heart rate stuff as much as everybody else, but you know, I do prescribe to easy mileage. And if you're not hitting that percentage of easy mileage because you don't have time, you have another issue. I'd rather bring the mileage back. But
it's also like difficult too, because I feel like, and I tried really to pull back on this, but for me personally, like if I have a schedule, I see miles on the schedule and I have to like plan my brain just looks at it like that's a to-do list item.
Yeah.
So like if I wasn't getting those, it felt like, what was the point of even running? Like if I had 5 miles on the schedule and I only had time for 3.5 today, it felt like I had like a deficit that I needed to somehow make up. So really there were days where I was running when I shouldn't have been running because I felt like too committed to that number. And I think sometimes with people who are a little bit type A, like that's not a good thing. It kind of turns into, but I want to like shout out Rachel too. Like she was very, very adamant about like, that is not how we're doing this. Like we are 100% here for a reason. And like, if you don't get all those miles, you go back out tomorrow, you don't add those on. And that was helpful too, because it really helped me like reframe some of those guidelines. Cause they aren't like in stone for a reason. And she would edit some of my runs. Like if I missed a long run or something, not a long run, but like a training run, it just, it would like eat at me. And she'd be like, listen, I'm going to pull it off your schedule. It was never there to begin with. We need to move forward. Like you can't just let this like run your life. And it was so helpful because it really just like pointed out some of the ways that that's why you need a coach sometimes, right? Like for me, I would have never been able to get through this training cycle without some accountability to the fact that like not everything is going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fine. Oh, I'm going through puberty. You're eating like a teenager. My voice is changing like one.
Yeah, it's your time in life, huh?
I think that's, it's the accountability, but it's finding the adjustments that you have to make mm-hmm. when things aren't perfect. And I think that's the, if you're not able to make that by yourself, you really do put yourself in a situation to either miss out on too much training or push yourself too hard and become injured. Because if you miss 3 miles one day and you're like, I'll just throw it onto this other run, that may be the exact wrong thing to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably is.
It also points out to like why it's great to work with a coach, why we love working with people is, Andrew and I both got a lot of our experience doing it through trial and error. Like I've never been coached by anybody. Andrew, you've never been coached by anybody.
Like, oh, wow. I didn't know that.
We learned a lot of this just by like you go out and you go through a cycle and you get done with it and you go, man, I really screwed up here, 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 and here. I'll fix that for the next cycle. But when you work with a coach, you don't have to go through those screw ups or as many of them because the coach can give you that bird's eye view and say, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's pump the brakes here. Like, let's add this here. Let's take this away here. And it really can speed up your development as a runner because you've got that other person looking over your shoulder telling you like where you're on point and where you really need to adjust some things.
Yeah. It's also interesting because you don't really even know that you need a coach until you've had a really successful season.
Yeah.
And, even in the time that I was working with Rachel, she's wonderful and I enjoyed my time with her so much, but I was like, do I even really need it? Like she gives me all this, like she gives me these like training plans and whatever, but it occurred to me a little late in the game, like not that I didn't always credit her for the wonderful season I had, but like I didn't realize quite how much of my actual progression was working with her and like guiding some of those goals, because I had used like a Hal Higdon plan, just like I think everybody in the world at some point has, right? And it was never quite it never had the same, honestly, the same ass behind it, right? Like there was never the same like sticking points between like do these speed workouts, you'll see some speed in your, you'll see some increases in your speed on race days. But like Rachel was so intentional about every workout that I had that like if I took the bite, I was gonna reap the rewards. I just had to take the bite. So,
all right, so let's get back to your specific journey here. You're wearing this wonderful Columbus Marathon sweatshirt right now. I have the other
the less cool one. Apparel. Got it.
Sure. No.
Okay.
Oh man.
Should I go? This is over.
I'll see.
Well, so you ran Goodyear half, right? You did Goodyear half.
Yeah.
And then did you run an Akron too?
No.
No. Okay. But this was all in preparation for Columbus where you ran the full. What was it like getting there and what was that day like for you?
Yeah. So, Goodyear half was the first time I'd set a pace goal. Actually, I think I talked to you about it a couple of days ahead of time. I was like, oh yeah. So I think I'm going to go for a sub two.
And I told you to line up with a pace group and we got there and there were no pace groups. And I was like, I'm so sorry.
I was like, it's okay.
I was up at the start and I was like, oh my God, I just fucked Sam's race all
kinds. No, you didn't. Sorry. No, you didn't. I appreciated you coming. He made like such a point to be like, I'm so sorry. No, it was okay. Goodyear was, humbling race for me a little bit because I had never set a pace goal before. So at that time I was like, okay, well, this is a pretty like lofty goal for me because I hadn't spent a lot of time like really pushing my pace just because I still felt like I was postpartum, right? Like, sorry, I just want to back up one step. I ran Medina as well, Medina half in May, and got a pretty big PR again at that same race, which I was like, what is it about this course? I don't know. It's actually like a very annoying course and it's not even that enjoyable because it's pretty hilly and it's Medina's a little bit boring. No, but I had a pretty good PR there. I think my time was like 2:11, which for me at the time I was like, oh, what is that? I never expected to see that kind of a number for a half. So then when I signed up for Goodyear, my goal was like, okay, like I'm going to try and do like a 2 hour or even like a sub two, which I was like, LOL, right? It's probably not going to happen. So when I went out, I had like a lot of like pressure riding on this. And my friend Ellen, I'm sure you guys have seen Ellen Calverdron. She's another like wonderful runner in the area. She was like, Sam, I'm going to pace you for this run. Like, we are going to do this. Like, you've got this. Like, I've seen your training. Like, we're going to do it. And I was like, okay. And I think it was like at mile 9 where everybody I talked to tells me it falls apart at Goodyear. I started to like really lose it. And I was, all I could think about was like, no, I should have never told like the 5 people I told that sub 2 is my goal, because I really started to like fall apart. And I was like, there's a part of my brain that's almost like, if I'm not going to get exactly that, then I almost pull back even harder. And I think when you were talking a little bit about Columbus, Andrew, you were talking about like, oh, when I knew I wasn't getting what I wanted to get, I still knew I was going to get something or whatever, like get closer to your goal. And I was thinking that, like, Ellen kept reminding me, like, she's like, you're still going to get a PR. Like, this is still, you're still in the game. And that was like a huge shift in my brain. Cause for me, like naturally I was like, let's just pull it back and enjoy the rest of the race. At like mile 9, I still had 4 miles to go. I thought, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to push myself this hard because I don't feel good anymore. But really, I feel like that is where like runners are made. That's where PRs are made. You don't need to be getting comfortable in those last couple miles. You need to really push. So at that point I had decided like, okay, you know, I crossed the finish line. I think 204 was my time, which was still pretty close to my goal and still a big PR from my last half. So I was fine with that. I felt great about it. But then for Columbus, I had said, okay, like maybe I should set a pace goal, because it was really that pushed me to have such a huge, I don't know, I felt so much satisfaction in the fact that I got really close to my pace goal, and that like next year, that's something I can continue to work for. It really like sets the tone for me in some ways. So yeah, getting there was a lot of work. I tried to quit a couple of times. I did not sign up for Columbus until like September 20th, I think. I was like not committed at all. I thought, oh, just, this is a really good summer. I just don't know if I want to do it. There was also like some scheduling conflict. This is really ridiculous, but my husband is in a golf league and he's like a very good golfer, and he had his tournament that the same day as Akron. And so I had like kind of said I was going to do Akron, but that if Akron didn't work out, then maybe I was just okay. And he was like, well, no, I'll just skip the golf tournament. I was like, no, you're not. Like, this means everything to you the same way this race means something to me. It's like, no, you're not going to miss it. So I think it was like that day he was like, well, what other like foals are there in the area at the same time? And I was like, you know, within the same bracket of time that it would make sense. And I was like, I think Columbus. And he was like, okay, well, would you want to just go to Columbus? Like, does that satisfy the, you know, the need for you in some way? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, I don't have a ton of ties to Columbus, but it would be a fun race. And I'd heard really, really good things about it. I saw a bunch of people that, like Andrew said that, Jillian had said she was going to run that race. So I signed up for it and I was like, okay, let's do it. Whatever it is, but here's my time goal. So I think 4:30 was my time goal and I was feeling pretty confident about it. And if you'd like me to stop so you can ask a question, please let me know. I'm kind of run on sentencing
no.
here.
No, but this is good going.
Okay. So we had gone down. Featherstone Nutrition has a wonderful carb calculator, as you guys know.
Wonderful.
It is wonderful.
I hit my goal.
First of all, I would like to reiterate my comments about your issues. I think that naked juice sent you. And maybe next time you just avoid the naked juice.
I think it started the evacuation process, but it was not the sole, the sole problem.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, honestly, sorry to like rub it in. Like, I don't have that problem with carbs. Typically they just like do what they're supposed to do for me. Usually I feel kind of like shit after day 2. But by day 3, like, I think I made an unfortunate decision to have a beer at dinner and I had like too many calories in me and like not enough room for food at that point. So I don't think I quite hit my goal that night, the night before the race. And then I like went to the gas station and got a Cosmic Brownie because I was like, oh, this is like an easy way to like really pack on some carbs. And all in all, it just didn't really work for me. So that morning I thought, we'll see. But Columbus is, it was an interesting race because I didn't quite anticipate how much like my quote unquote community meant to me. We had people in town from Akron. Of course, I know you guys saw a bunch of people that were super helpful in the moments where like I really felt lonely. But in like as a whole, running a race completely by yourself is like something I'm not used to. And it was difficult for me. I run with friends. That's just kind of where this started for me. And I really kind of felt lonely. And I was like, when I was struggling, there was very little like, oh yeah, you got this. It was very like, I don't know if I got this. So I think I was doing pretty good. I was like ahead of the 4:30 pacer and I was feeling like very confident that I had that time in the bag. And then I think it was like mile 18 or 19. It really fell apart for me. Like the wheels just like were no longer on. I called one of my friends who was like down spectating and I was like, listen, like, I'm trying to find a way out of this race. I don't know where to go. I'm really lost. Like, I don't know if I could do it. She was like, whoa, no, you're not. Like, pump the brakes. You're not doing that. She's like, take a breath, walk it out a little bit. It's okay if you need to walk a minute. You know, have a gel. It's probably that you're, you know, like I had felt like I was fueling appropriately. And I, you know, I kind of like didn't do a great job morning of. I didn't have like food on hand. I was in an Airbnb and I was like, oh, I'll just have like something on my way down there. There was nothing down there. It was chaos. I don't know if you can relate to that, Andrew, but there was like, you could hardly get to your corral. It was like super busy. And I just like had a gel at the start line. And I like, don't really feel like that was enough, honestly. I didn't have like a cup of coffee, which is not great for me.
Oh, that's a disaster.
It was just caffeine. Piss poor planning. Yeah. Yeah. And I like have a lot of coffee every day. I don't know if that's a big shock to you, but yeah, I drink a lot of coffee. So when I did not have a cup of coffee, I thought, oh, yeah. So, I think probably by like mile 21, I had gotten it back, but I think it was just, it was tough. Those like middle miles where I just didn't know how I was going to finish. So 22, I had seen some friends that were in town. They had run the half and they like waited after their half to like cheer me on. And it was just very moving. I know, it was very sweet. So once I got to that point, I was like, okay, I can finish this race. And then saw my son kind of at the end and I was like, yay, I could do this. But I was thinking I came in at like 4:35, but it, you know, my husband like tries to like move around the course every time he's like spectating and my son's just like, what is going on? And so I appreciated the support. He was at, I think he was at mile 12 and I think I saw him one other time. Honestly, I like kind of blacked out, but I saw him one other time, I think. And then I saw him at the end and those like moments make it super special because even though my son's little, he just turned one. I think it's going to be like very special someday to be like, you were there. Like I ran this race and you came. And so, but yeah, overall it was a really, I don't know. It was a good race. I really enjoyed the race itself. I think, not to be like too much of a kiss ass, I really think listening to your recap about it, Andrew, like kind of made me like take a step back to be like, just because it didn't like feel great the whole time doesn't mean it wasn't like a successful race. And the race itself is very meaningful. I mean, the work that they do for Nationwide Children's Hospital was, when I saw those doctors like standing outside the hospital, like I had to like, I was crying. I like needed a minute. And like all of those things that you like called back to memory for me where I had like sort of blocked them out just because I was like living in some of my pain from the actual race was, it like made me like kind of rethink to sort of the experience itself. And definitely I'm super appreciative of it. And I will run that race again for sure. Probably this year. I really enjoyed it so much. So.
So we're all fans of The Office here. The episode where Pam and Jim get married, they do the like the invisible camera thing. Taking pictures of memories. I kind of try to do that in the middle of races. And the thing with the doctors was part of it because, you know, that is at a point where, well, and I was still trying to haul ass to catch up to people after I had to go to the bathroom. So I was in the pain cave, even though that's like mile 8 or 9. But I kind of saw that and it was one of those things where, yeah, I just kind of took a mental image of it just to store for later because I wanted to remember that. But I do remember kind of like waving to them and saying, thank you. Like,
thank you. Yep. This is the same thing
out here. Like
saving these babies that like could very well have been my baby or anyone else's baby. Like, not that I want to put that in the air, but yeah, these people are doing, you know, someone's work for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, that's you bringing that up kind of jogged my memory a little bit, allowed me to see that mental photo. But I think that's kind of how you have to approach falls is, you're going to be foggy, but you have to just take these moments where it's like, I need to visually remember this frame of this movie that I'm in right now. And that's because, you're always going to be able to go back and get it, you know, and talking to somebody, somebody's going to bring, like you just did, bring up a part that I totally forgot about, but I got this, I got this image. I can go through this little Polaroid.
There was also this moment that I feel like I have to call out and she's probably going to be like, oh my gosh, it wasn't a big deal, but she's the sweetest person ever. Andrea Sanchez was, I know you talked about seeing her as well, but a very friend of the pod. Yeah. You gave her a lot of shit for having to call her out, but she was, I couldn't tell you what mile it was, but I saw her like instantly started crying and like, and we're not even like that close of friends. We're like Instagram friends, but I gave her a hug and she was like, Sam, you've got this, like, go get it. Like, get after it. And I was like, okay. And she like gave, and like, for whatever reason, that is like such a core memory for me, because like, she's not a stranger. Of course, I like know her in this world that we live in, like on Instagram and like this running community that's like sort of a virtual world that we kind of just exist in together. But she like made such an impact on that day for me that like, yeah, I don't know. She's something else. I tell you what, she's just the sweetest thing. I told her yesterday, I was like, man, I wish you were like, she's always talking about her kids and like her boys. Like, oh, you're such a good mom. Like, you can be my mom. And she's like, yeah, she's so sweet. Just like such an angel.
She is also something else.
She likes to call me out. Like, girl, were you wearing hoops at your race? Like hoop earrings? And I was like, okay, I'm about to take her on. Okay.
Wait, were you?
Not that race, but at another race. Yes.
Right.
Living my best life, man. I don't know what to tell you. You're going to have to get on board.
I didn't say anything bad against it. So, so and then after Columbus, you weren't done yet.
No, I wasn't.
You went and decided that 26.2 wasn't enough. So you needed to run 50.
Why? Against the advice of the Instagram dad here, I was like, oh yeah, so I shouldn't sign up for a 50K. And you're like, no, you idiot. it was fun though. It was a good race. So here's what happened.
I don't think I said that.
I would be more than happy to pull up the receipts.
Keep talking. I'll find it.
I'll do that. So, so Loop the Lake was coming up. Fun fact about Loop the Lake last year was that I was in harsh labor at the time. And I was bummed about it because I thought maybe I'll just go like run the relay, like very much pregnant. That was never going to happen. So I was in labor the first year it happened. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to run that race. And I didn't really like have plans to do it. Like my friends and I had talked about it. And then I think a couple weeks before we signed up for the relay, and that was going to be just fine. Right. Let's do the relay. It'll be super fun. We'll all just get out there and like take a bite of it. But then after Columbus, I wasn't upset about my time at all. Like I think my time was 4:35. My goal was 4:30. So it was, again, not super far off the time. But it was like enough that I felt like I still had some in the tank. So I think there was a couple reasons I really wanted to be a part of the event. I thought I was like trained enough to do it. I was trained enough to do it. But I also thought like maybe I could get after that goal again. So I like said to Ryan, who's my husband, I was like, hey, like, I think I have a little more in the tank. Are you cool with that? And he was like, yeah, I'm cool with that. Get after it. And I was like, okay. So I signed up for it. And honestly, physically, I have to say I enjoyed that race more than Columbus. I don't know why. Maybe it was just because my friends were there running with me the whole time. It was certainly a hard race. Like there was very few. I think I took a break at one point because we were like trying to get between relayers and I was trying to like keep people on track or whatever. So I was like, there was one loop that I took like a break to like fuel and whatever. But I mean, for the most part, it was just such a fun event and the race itself was so good. I don't actually have a great I don't know what my time was that day because my watch died. And the unfortunate thing about like their timing mats is like they were like missing some data. So there was like a 24-hour period where I was like, did I miss a loop? Like I have no way of proving it. Like my watch is da-da-da-da. And I had like messaged.
They were keeping times on a paper grocery bag.
Yeah. Because their timing mats quit working. So yeah, I messaged Nicole Greer David. And I was like, I'm so sorry to like be so annoying, but like, I just like, don't know if I ran a 50K and I feel like a fraud. And she was like, stop it. You ran this. Like, you're good. Like, I'm sorry about the mats. I was like, you don't need to be sorry, but like, do you think I did? And she's like, I know you did. Okay. I was there. Like, it was fine. And I was like, but man, it was, the race itself was so much fun. I mean, I don't know if you'll ever like be interested in doing that race, but I think you should think about it. It really was just such a good time. It's a party. The parking lot is like, we had a tent set up and like all of our like husbands and friends and whatever were like hanging out under our tent. And then like people brought coolers and people were just like drinking. Should I be telling people that? I don't know. People were like drinking in the parking lot. It was so much fun. We just had a blast. So yeah, that race was, I loved it. I had a good time.
Okay, so I'm going in the Wayback Machine in our DMs here.
Oh, yeah.
Our DMs. So I had shared your running off-season post from, that Adam made for us. I shared it in my story, and then you responded
So weird. I didn't see sign up for a 50K 3 weeks later on your list. Did you forget? And then I just said, and I sent you this Larry David gif.
My God.
Are you insane? That was all I said.
I read between the lines. Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't discourage it. I encourage it.
I just think
it sounds like a terrible idea. But again,
yeah,
we haven't talked about it on the pod yet. My next year is going to be pretty stupid too. So
I
think there's definitely ways to have fun like that. But it doesn't mean it's not insane.
It was insane. I can admit that. It was definitely. I didn't feel the same way I felt after the Columbus Marathon, which was incapacitated physically. I felt much better, actually. So I don't know what the difference was. Maybe it was the slowdown a little bit in between. Maybe it was just, like I said, there was just a difference in like having your people around, right? Like my two best friends and like some other close friends were at that race. Like I got to enjoy every single second of that race. Whereas like at Columbus, like I got to see some friends along the way who were cheering, but it just wasn't the same. And I don't know. That's kind of, there's part of me that's like, quit being such a baby. Like you're racing for you. Like, don't worry about your friends being there. But then there's another part of me that's like, but that's like why I love running. I love the community that I've like proudly built for myself. You know, like I do this because I enjoy the company of the people in my running community, you know?
Well, that's a good shot to end it right there.
Yeah.
We're talking about loving her running community. Cause you are in it and you're part of this Northeast Ohio, Akron, Canton, Wadsworth.
Shout out.
It's a tight group and, It's a large group, and I think it's fun to be a part of it and get to know people. And I love how many friends we have that we've never met before.
I think that's fun. You know, you talk a lot about your like fast friends group that meets at the Norton track, and it's funny because like my friend that runs as well, she and I like go to the Norton track sometimes, and I was like, oh, we have to be careful not to go on that day. I mean, she's a fast friend. This girl ain't a fast friend. That's fine. So no new friends is what Andrew's trying to say. So don't show up on that same Wednesday. Is that right?
you can absolutely Wednesdays at 5.
See you there.
But, it's good stuff. I really enjoy our group. So
yeah.
Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with, Sam?
Yeah, I think, just to kind of like wrap up the theory or the, not theory, I guess, the whole topic of postpartum running. I think it's important that parents in general, I mean, moms and dads alike, I've seen a lot of people who say like, oh, like, how'd you do that? Like, how'd you make the time to do that? Like, I encourage you to make the time if your schedule allows or like if, you know, your support allows, because I think it really just goes to show you that, you know, your body will impress you. I'm forever surprised by what I was able to do coming back off of just like a pretty, my birth wasn't particularly hard. It was like, you know, my pregnancy was fairly easy. There was a moment in time where I just didn't think like running was going to be for me again. And I'm just like thankful that I gave it the attention that I did. Cause I think it really surprised me. And it's important to do those things for yourself if you can.
I like that. I think that's huge because it's good for parents to even just give yourself a moment to yourself.
Yeah.
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 And, if it's something you love, you can make time for it. I hear that a lot and, there's a season for everything and
for
maybe
everything.
There's a season where it's like, I can't make time right now. And that does happen, but if it's important to you and it's something you want to do, yes, you can make time for running and, you can make time for successful running.
That's good
stuff.
Yeah.
Adam, do you have anything you would like to say? You've been.
No, she ended it perfectly there. That's a great note to end on.
I also looked down and was like, holy shit, this is a full episode with her.
Yeah.
And you were like, damn, this is not what I was trying to do with this girl. She was supposed to be a snippet.
Right. Now she's a new permanent member of the podcast.
Would you say we're like maybe a friend of the pod? Is that? No. Okay. No. Okay. Gotcha. No, an enemy of the pod.
Co-host now.
No. No.
Welcome to the party. You need some estrogen in here. This is like a really like fast sausage fest. Like you need some females in here, you know?
All right. Well, until next time, guys, thank you for listening to us.
Like I said, it was the perfect spot to end.
We had this great sentimental ending, and now we ended the way we always do. So thanks everybody for listening. Sam, thanks so much. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Man. I don't have to tell you.
Yes. I'm so glad this records video.
Don't you have some meat to tend to? Up. Isn't it like Smoker Sunday or what?
Butt to tend to, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, Sam, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Adam, I will see you soon. And to all our listeners, thanks for listening. And enjoy your miles, everybody.
Bye.